This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Gil Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop.
What happens when a liberal journalist attends a Trump rally amongst the actual people? Well, writing in the Chicago Sun-Times, columnist Neil Steinberg recounts last week's presidential rally that happened with the steel workers. And he recounted it this way. "We need steel," Trump said. "We need steel plants. I look at the faces of you people. I could be one of you. I like you guys." Well, that struck me as either sincere or an amazing facsimile. The workers, for their part, couldn't give him a standing ovation because they never sat down. I left the hall thinking, Donald Trump is going to be reelected in 2020. The Democrats don't have anyone who can touch him. Bank on it. Don't hate me for being the one to tell you. Joining me now for reaction is Ben Shapiro, editor of The Daily Wire. Ben, I read that, and I thought, that's at least an honest liberal view. He hates Trump. He can't stand Trump. But going to a rally and seeing the reaction of the people and thinking, Kamala Harris or Cory Booker, are they really going to get the mojo going? What are your thoughts there?
I think it's exactly right. I mean, the culture war that's been raging in the country is really not a war between the elites and the non-elites. It's between the elitists and everyone else. People who think that jobs being lost at the New York Daily News is a national tragedy, but jobs being lost in the steel industry is totally fine because those are a bunch of rubes in the Rust Belt anyway. What President Trump really does better than virtually any other politician on the American scene is he conveys that he really does care about people who are in these industries, the people who are doing the so-called dirty jobs that people on the coast tend to think only illegal immigrants are willing to do.
Yeah, Ben, I did my angle tonight on the Koch brothers, who've done a lot of good stuff on tax reform and supporting Brett Kavanaugh and deregulation. They've done good stuff on that. But they are just adamant that even discussing tariffs is going to crater the global economy. It's going to be terrible. They have 60,000 or 65,000 workers overseas. They have 60,000 in the United States, but they have a lot overseas. So they're the old Republican Guard, and they don't like this. And they're going to start funding some Democrats because they want to fight that Trump approach to trade.
Well, I think obviously funding Democrats is not the answer to this. I'm a free trader myself, and I'm not particularly fond of tariff policy. But the real key here, again, I think is less policy-driven than it is even cultural. The president obviously has a lot of sympathy for people who are in these industries that have paid a price due to trade. I mean, there's no question that there are winners and losers in trade. Overall, I think that trade is a great thing for the United States. I think free trade is a great thing for the United States. But to pretend that there are no downsides to trade is obviously not telling the whole truth.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, again, the results of the election in those Rust Belt states, and they suffered the great job losses over the last 20 years of China being in the WTO. I mean, all these neocon hawks, Ben, who all they did is tell us, you know, we got to build up the military, got to build up the military. That's great. I agree. But China's the big threat to America's dominance militarily and economically. And so if we just grow their economy at the expense of our own, we're going to be in some trouble down the road. I also want you to get some thoughts from you on something that's kind of the opposite of what that Chicago Sun-Times columnist wrote. This was a piece published this morning, imagining the day after Trump's re-election loss in 2020. Okay, here it is. As Trump seethed and tweeted in defeat late Tuesday and President-elect Elizabeth Warren celebrated, the arc of the Trump story is starting to make more sense than it has for much of his chaotic presidency. The normal rules of politics do apply to Donald Trump after all. So now the time was up for Trump. They're already imagining his loss, which tells you, well, the derangement syndrome, whatever you want to call it, that cliche is already wearing thin, but they're now having to write about 2020 and 2018.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that they're desperate to take down President Trump right now. They are hoping, obviously, that 2016 was an outlier, and they're going to blame it on anything. They'll blame it on Hillary Clinton being a bad candidate, finally, or they'll blame it on Russian collusion, which they've yet to prove. But what they won't acknowledge is that there's a systemic problem inside the Democratic Party, and screaming Medicare for all and running a Hillary Clinton clone like Elizabeth Warren is not going to fix the giant gap that they have with the middle of the country, whom they still consider a bunch of bitter clingers working jobs that they would never deign to get their hands dirty doing. Listen, I'm a guy who's from the coast, right? I'm from L.A. LA. I spent some of my time in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I am an elite by any of these standards, but the bottom line is that the people in the middle of the country are doing work that is as important or more important than the people on the coast who are sitting in their coffee houses writing scripts.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Someone once said, live free or die, right?
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Dr. Warren Farrell is back with us. And, you know, taking a look at the question, why are boys struggling and what can we do about it? His book, The Boy Crisis. Let me give you a little bit of background on this from his inside cover of this book. What is the boy crisis, you may ask? Well, it's a crisis of education. Worldwide, boys are 50% less likely than girls to meet basic proficiency in reading, math, and science. It's a crisis of mental health. ADHD is on the rise, and as boys become young men, their suicide rates go from equal to girls to six times that of young women. That's not enough to ask you what's going on. It's a crisis of fathering. Boys are growing up with less involved fathers and are more likely to drop out of school, drink, do drugs, become delinquent, and end up in prison. It's a crisis of purpose. Boys' old sense of purpose, being a warrior, leader, or a sole breadwinner, is fading. Many bright boys are experiencing a purpose void, feeling alienated, withdrawn, and addicted to immediate gratification. So what's the boy crisis? Well, this book is a comprehensive blueprint for what parents, teachers, and policymakers can do to help our sons become happier, healthier men, fathers, and leaders worthy of our respect. Dr. Warren, Dr. Farrell, we need this. I mean, we need the anecdote here. I mean, we need boys just like we need girls playing their critical roles in society, do we not?
Absolutely, and we really, you know, boys and girls have been doing, and males and females, even in the animal kingdom, do a tango, and they both serve a purpose, and and especially when raising children, moms tend to be so good at nurturing and devotion and being there to protect the children, but children, especially boys who are highly protected, do not tend to be very functional in the world, and boys that can feel they can manipulate a better deal by not having their ice cream and not having their peas and being able to jump right into that ice cream or to figure out some way of getting around mom's boundary setting. Those are boys that end up not being able to have postponed gratification, not being able to get the job done, not being able to focus on what they need to do, and therefore being much more likely to have ADHD, to have later bedtimes because they can manipulate later bedtimes. Mm-hmm. And the later bedtimes make them unhealthy, and the lack of focus reinforces any ADHD genetic problem that they might have to begin with. And so these boys then feel that they're not doing that well in school, and they're not being respected by their peers, not being respected by their teachers, not making their parents proud. And they tend to withdraw into video games, and, you know, around adolescent times or even before adolescence these days, when they have have their first feelings of I'm interested in a girl. They start looking at porn because, you know, pornography is access to a variety of attractive women without fear of rejection at a price they can afford. And then they start getting involved with that, and then they get less and less realistic about what, you know, what a real relationship and a real dynamic with a real girl is about, and they then have such a distance between the porn and their real life relationships with girls, especially girls who perceive them as being losers, that they don't, you know, that their life just goes downhill, and that leads to, those are all signs of that. Everything I just mentioned are some of the red flags of depression that and rudderlessness and sort of orneriness that boys who have that sort of foundational experience tend to have.
Why is it that I'm seeing just dominoes falling? It's like one domino is falling, and it leads to another, and it leads to another, and you see them just toppling over here, and who's taking the biggest hit are the boys.
Yes, and I mean, you're seeing dominoes falling because dominoes are falling. You're not delusional.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Yeah, because it's just one thing leads into another, as you just say. If they've been coddled and they're not used to, you know, doing certain things, they're going to take the easy way out. So why should I culture a relationship when I can turn to porn? It's so much easier.
Yes, and, you know, and it's just simple things like, you know, the boy comes home from school and he says, you know, Mrs. Moyer, she doesn't like me, you know, and so mom will say, you know, mom will think to herself, I don't want my son to have an early foundational bad experience at third grade, let's say. So, you know, I'll call the principal and I'll see if we can get him into Mrs. Jones' class. And so, whereas the dad is much more likely to say something like, you know, sweetie, you have to learn to get along with people that you don't like and that don't like you. And so what do you think Mrs. Moyers is upset with about you? Is it just that she is a devil? Or, you know, if I were to speak with her tomorrow, what would she say? Tell me about it before she says it without you having any input. And so then a conference might be set up between Mrs. Moyers, the son, and the mother and the father, and where both of them have a chance to communicate, and they learn from that chance to communicate what their misunderstandings are, what their needs are, how they feel, how they each feel. And so the boy has learned as a result of a much harder process how to work through a relationship where there's not a natural liking for each other for one reason or the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Farrell, you and John Gray, Dr. Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, you looked at this issue very comprehensively. I mean, your background, quite extensive, and, you know, you're the only man in the U.S. to have been elected 3 times to the board of the National Organization for Women in New York City. When we consider the genesis of this and how the trajectory became anti-boys or anti-male, where do you find the roots of this? Where does this all come from?
Well, one of the roots of it is the work that I did has, you know, the work that I my involvement with the feminist movement was a movement which created a lot of good and also created a lot of bad. And a lot of good is that I have 2 daughters, and John also has 3 daughters, we want our 5 daughters to have lots of options that when John and I grew up, or at least when I grew up, they were just not available to my sister and to my mother before her. She didn't even consider, my mother was extremely bright, but she didn't even consider going to college because she came from a poor background and she wanted to have a job to get decent clothes to attract a man. And so that's the way she channeled her brightness. And so when I applied to graduate school, she broke down crying and said, you know, I just wish I had made use of my education. I had pursued my education rather than just pursued, getting clothes to, because it all brought to her what she had missed. And so that tuned me into the positive positive aspects of the feminist movement, which was expanding options for girls and women, and for when I was divorced at one point and then got remarried, and still married to the woman I got remarried to, but in the meantime, in that period of time between marriages, I dated many women who were full-time moms, and they were devoted. They were stressed out, overwhelmed, juggling the caring for their children with often working in the workplace. And so, I have such appreciation for what moms have taken on. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, where we made enormous mistakes is that the feminist movement, they took the background of the civil rights movement, in which there was a slave owner and a slave and an oppressor and oppressed. Mm-hmm. And then they went into Marxist feminism, in which there was an oppressive group and an oppressed group.
Dr. Farrell, we got to take a real quick pause. We've got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there. We're talking with Dr. Warren Farrell, his book, The Boy Crisis. More right after this.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you had credit challenges, divorce, bankruptcy, or just haven't established your credit yet? If so, getting a decent car loan can be tough. The good news is that there is a place where you can get a car loan at a fair price, regardless of your credit situation. Auto Loan Express can make it happen now when you visit newcar99.com. Here's the deal. If you have a regular job, then there's no reason to keep taking the bus or repairing that old junker. Go to newcar99.com today and fill out our simple online application. We accept over 99% of applicants and can get you behind the wheel of your new car with just a few strokes of your keyboard. No hassles. No third degree. Just fill out the simple online application and start shopping for your next car. So when you're ready to get on the road with your new car loan, visit us online at newcar99.com, where we accept 99% of all applications. newcar99.com. If you have a job, then you qualify. Here's to you and your new car. Visit newcar99.com. newcar99.com.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dylan Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dylan bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dylan bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dylan bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-910-5936. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-910-5936. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-910-5936. 1-800-910-5936.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we're visiting with Dr. Warren Farrell. His book, The Boy Crisis, Why Our Boys Are Struggling and What We Can Do About It. Dr. Farrell, for the break, you were, you know, giving us a reminder of how we got where we are today. And it stems from the feminist movement as to what's going on. And we can dissect that in a lot of ways. And I, like you, I admired and have admired women for taking on the challenge, because some of these things that occurred in terms of trying to focus on women, like anything, if that's the target's focus, who gets left behind, and other dynamics that go into place and into play in terms of fatherlessness and that. But I want you to finish what you were talking about in terms of this dynamic of the feminist movement and the effect it had, positive on girls and negative on boys.
I just finished the positive part of the feminist movement, but the negative part, when I was on the board of NOW, was we started getting calls from mothers that said that they were getting divorces and they wanted the option. They didn't like the fact that we were recommending equality, because equality meant that the father would be equally involved with the mother, and they wanted the option to marry a new man, move out of town, and start life anew without having to be worrying about communicating with a father that they didn't get along with. Mm-hmm. And so now, so my response was, well, wait a minute, we're asking the wrong question here. The question here needs to be, what benefits the children the most?
Exactly.
And their response, the feminist response, the board response was, well, that is really important. We agree with you, Warren, but we have lots of agendas with the feminist movement, and child custody is only one of them. And if we start alienating women who want to be the primary caretaker after a divorce, we're going to alienate our political base, which will undermine our ability to help women in other ways. And so I said, understand the political dimensions of that, but you're sacrificing potentially a whole generation of children, or a significant portion of a generation of children, by making that decision. And so we started to separate our feelings about that. But then I also said to myself, well, maybe I'm wrong about this benefit, you know, children, fathers being so important to children. And so I started doing research for formerly a book called Father and Child Reunion, and then updated that research enormously for The Boy Crisis, and then started to look at what is there that a father contributes. Is it necessary? Can there be other substitutes if the father can't be around? And I found, to my surprise, that fathers were much more important than I had suspected, even though I thought they were important. And the intact family is much more important than I suspected. Mm-hmm. And so, but every bit of research that I did, you know, of all 70 findings that about how important fathers are and how children suffer when they don't do well, they were all in tension with which, you know, with my relationship with the National Organization for Women. But conservative in media understood it immediately and said things like, my God, you know, we've been saying this for years and nobody's been paying attention, especially not the, you know, the feminist movement or liberals. And so, you know, the group that I came from, I had to really, you know, I really had to confront myself at every level when I was doing the research for the book, because the book just was not reinforcing. The findings for The Boy Crisis were just not reinforcing what I was being seduced to believe.
Exactly. Well, thank God for your pursuit of truth and reason here, because I think, like you and I had this discussion the last time, Dr. Farrell, is that, you know, the child comes from the man and the woman. There are certain aspects of that child that are instinctive. They're natural to the woman. That's what the woman's deposit into that child. Oftentimes, even with my wife and I, you know, there's certain things happen with our son, and it drives me nuts. And she goes, why are you so concerned about that? You know, because it's of her, and she understands it's real easy for her to flow in and out and communicate around those issues, where for me, it causes me brain damage. On the other hand, and there are times, you know, that that part of me is in him. I understand. And what happens here for the child is now they have a healthy dose of
of some balance to where they don't really, you know, after wondering if you only have one parent involved and you look at that child and you say, well, you're just nuts. You're ADHD, you know, or some other, you know, thing that we're throwing on that child without even taking into account that, you know, that's part of the father. And if the father is not there, how does the father balance that out?
Absolutely. And we have, as you mentioned at the outset of the last segment, that we have a purpose void. You know, you used to be that you're born a boy and you're going to be either a warrior and a hero and, or alternatively, you'll be a sole breadwinner. And now with women sharing the burden of breadwinning, we're not, you know, we don't define ourselves as a man by being a sole breadwinner. And we don't necessarily, we have a very few, a much smaller percentage of boys that are needed as warriors. And so we have this purpose void. And then that's combined with this dad void in so many divorced families and in so many families where mothers are raising children without the father. So we have to remember that in the United States, 53% of women under 30 who have children, 53% have children without being married, which doesn't always mean a lack of father involvement, but usually means that maybe about 80% of the time means a lack of father involvement of any consistency among women who are under 30 who have children without being married. And so this becomes a very major group of the boys that are in crisis. And what I discovered was in that group and in the group of children, boys after divorce that don't have a significant amount of father involvement, those are the great majority of the boys who are having problems.
Single parenting, you know, at that number, I mean, you got to tell me that, you know, women are in crisis over this. I mean, how can you do that? How can you be a single parent, take on a full-time job, and, you know, and being a single parent, I mean, it's one thing when the child is very young, but they enter adolescence and teenage and all the things that are going, my goodness, they're a comet force to deal with. And you're doing this by yourself? I mean, if that doesn't cause an incredible amount of stress on women across America in these single family households like this or single parent households, I don't know what else, you know, you can add to that.
Absolutely. Every single woman, the women that I dated between marriages, what I came to hear as the O word, I would usually hear within the first date, which was overwhelm. Mm-hmm. They were, and also,
see, I always heard oy vey. That's what I heard.
Oy vey.
So, oy vey, that's what I heard. But that's the same thing, right?
But yeah, just basically the same thing. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, let me go back to one thing, because you were talking, you know, you and John, you know, you have daughters. And this is what we need to look forward to, is that if boys are emasculated, and they're neutered the way they are, and the culture is producing less than boys, what do our more than daughters have to look forward to?
This is really what the feminists missed. And it was sort of by creating this oppressor versus oppressed group and saying we live in a world dominated by a patriarchy in which the men made the rules to benefit men at the expense of women, which is feminist philosophy, we completely miss the fact that that is an incorrect analysis of the past. The past was not dominated by patriarchy. It was dominated by the need to survive.
Exactly.
And if you talk to your dad about the glint in his eye when he was younger, maybe wanting to be an actor, an artist, a musician, and then when he had children, he realized he probably, if he was an actor, he'd be called a waiter. And if he was a musician or an artist, he'd be called a starving artist. Mm-hmm. And he knew he couldn't make enough money to be able to support his family by doing what created the glint in his eye. So he gave up the glint in his eye to do what he knew would make enough money to be a responsible parent and have dependable income for the emergencies that the family might run into. And so that willingness on the part of our fathers to play that role, that was their sacrifice of the glint in their eye. That was not a rule made by them to benefit them. It was a rule made by both men and women together. Women didn't marry men who weren't prepared to be successful or didn't have potential to be able to support both themselves themselves and the children and the woman when she is having the option to be able to take off and be involved with the children.
We got to leave our audience, sadly, with that thought, and hopefully the conversation will continue between us. Dr. Warren Farrell, The Boy Crisis on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Dr. Farrell. Appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure talking with you, Bill.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort going on trial today in Alexandria, Virginia, after pleading not guilty to more than 30 counts of bank and tax fraud and failure to file reports on foreign financial accounts. Special advisor to President Trump Kellyanne Conway notes, none of this has anything to do with President Trump or his campaign for the White House.
This trial obviously centers on matters that have nothing to do with the campaign. I think that even Mr. Manafort, as I read it, had requested that there be no mention of his brief tenure at the Trump campaign several years ago.
She spoke on Fox News. Mexico authorities say that there were 31,000 murders in Mexico last year, much higher than the 25,000 they'd earlier quoted. President Trump tweets, "One of the reasons we need great border security." This is USA Radio News.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like Accucheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you, and get rewarded.
Bill Martinez.
You, because we believe in validating you. We're not going to invalidate you and kick you to the side and say that your opinion doesn't count. It does count if we're going to get this country back on track. It's not a Republican, a Democratic thing. It's an us thing. It's the United States of America. Hey, very quickly here, I want to remind you and thank you, first of all, for your generosity toward Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us. We are raising money here on our fundraising period of time because of the growth of Songs and Stories for Soldiers. It's become so popular. We're now involved with over 110 veteran service facilities. You've heard me talk about the MP3 players that we're giving out to our vets who come back and dealing with sleep deprivation, PTSD, suicide. You hear the suicide. suicide rate all the time, but 22 per day, which is just a heartbreak. And we're doing what we can, and I know you want to do what you can. We have now distributed over 15,000 of those MP3 players, and we have growing needs every day. This thing is expanding so quickly. So whatever you can do, just to give you an idea, $10 donation buys an MP3 player to hopefully save a veteran's life. Just go to our website. You can go to our website as well, BillMartinezLive.com. Click on the donate button or go to songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us, and you can donate there as well. We thank you for your generosity, as always. Jenny Beth Martin was going to be here, but she got caught up in a meeting with Senator Cruz and others. And now batting for Jenny Beth Martin. Here are the fans screaming. Bill Pascoe. Bill is the Tea Party Patriot Citizen Fund political director. Bill, we appreciate you stepping in because we got a lot to talk about here.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Bill. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. And I want to say, first of all, congratulations. Last night, I guess you showed this movie that I vaguely mentioned called Invalidated. And of course, we're going to be able to talk more about it. I guess we're in a little bit of an embargo on this. What, through Friday, I'm told?
Well, we debuted the film last night, Invalidated, the Shredding of the U.S. Patent System. On Friday, it will be available on Amazon Prime and on iTunes and on Xfinity systems.
Right.
We're trying to get it on Netflix. Netflix has a larger bureaucracy, as you might imagine.
Yes. Right.
So hopefully it'll be available on Netflix soon. But for right now, on Friday, it'll be available on Amazon Prime Video and iTunes and Xfinity systems.
Well, the reason that America's current patent system is so important, okay, so don't dream off on me. You've got to hear some of the stories and what's been going on, especially in light of, you know, we hear a lot about China stealing our intellectual property, I mean, to the tune, and this was really shocking for me because my brain finally absorbed how much they were stealing from us, to the tune of $600 billion every year, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Chinese have been doing. And we're aghast at that realization. And we're cheering on President Trump for leveling out the playing field so that we have not only free trade, but fair trade. And we've been saying this on the show for years, even before President Trump was President Trump. And so, you know, we finally have an advocate in the Oval Office who is fighting on behalf of businesses and we the people. Invalidated, this movie is showing how intellectual property is being stolen within the borders of the United States of America. I mean, bigger companies ripping off ideas that smaller folks have, you know, by size, you know, somebody comes up with a dream, they're, you know, it's part of who they are. They're innovators, and they come up with this deal, and then big companies come in and swoop and steal it. This is happening in America because of the Patent Trial and Appeal Board and the judiciary. It's all part and parcel, and that's what this movie reveals, does it not, Bill?
You're exactly right. And let's talk about that PTAB, the Patent Trial and Advisory Board that you just mentioned. This is a relatively new creature in the swamp. It was created just several years ago. Congress passed a law in 2011 that changed the patent system. And last night, after the screening of the movie, we had a panel discussion. We had a couple members of Congress there, including Thomas Massie, who's one of the inventors who's actually featured in the movie. When he was very young, he developed some computer software that nobody had thought of before. He got a patent on it. And we had Louis Gohmert, who's a former judge in Texas. And Texas, of course, where he was a judge before he was a member of Congress, Eastern Texas in particular, became known as sort of a rocket docket for patent challenges. Wow. So what's been happening here, they both explain, look, you've got all these huge companies, Google, Apple, Microsoft, they're coming to lobby Congress all the time. And what they want to do, believe it or not, even though these companies that I just mentioned, we all know them for being innovators in the technology field, you would think that they would be companies that would support strong U.S. patent rights, the protection of intellectual property. Instead, those are the companies that have come to the conclusion that it's easier for them, it makes more business sense for them to weaken patent rights so so they can grab somebody else's patent and just go to town with it without paying the necessary fees for some for the use of somebody else's property. So they changed the law, and they created this new creature, the Patent Trial and Advisory Board. Under the old system, inventor comes up with idea. He literally builds a better mousetrap, and he mm-hmm. gets a patent on it, and then he owns that property, and if anybody wants to use his new invention, they have to pay him. That's exactly. how we incentivize people exactly. to come up with new ideas, yeah. to spend thousands of hours experimenting to perfect their new idea and bring it to fruition. Mm-hmm. But now with this Patent Trial Advisory Board, what happens is somebody will challenge that patent, and in 80% of the cases, this is the remarkable thing, in 80% of the cases, this what we call a death panel for patents, mm-hmm. Patent Trial Advisory Board, right. will invalidate the patent and take away the owner's property rights. And it's an extrajudicial kind of body. You're limited in the amount of time that you get to make your case. So you know, when you go to court, as you often do in patent situations before, when you go to court, you're allowed as much time as it takes to present your case, to show all the evidence that you're the guy who developed this particular invention, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And that's a standard feature of a court case. It takes as long as it takes, period. Right. Both sides get to present evidence. But when you go to the PTAB, you get an hour, or you might get an hour and a half. And that's it. Well, what if you have more evidence to present than you can fit into a 45-minute discussion? You're up the creek without a paddle.
Exactly.
And what we'd like to see happen is we'd like to get rid of this PTAB. Mm-hmm. The good news is that Congressman Massey, an inventor himself, has introduced legislation to do that. You know, we talk about this idea of invention. The patent system in the United States was unique when it was created. The founders actually put it in the Constitution. It's in
exactly.
Article 1, Section 8 of mm-hmm. the Constitution. It's not in the Bill of Rights. It wasn't right. an afterthought. They actually put it in the base Constitution. And what was unique about it at the time was that in Europe, somebody who came up with an idea, guess who owned that idea? The sovereign did. The king
yes, exactly.
owned everybody's
right.
ideas. Mm-hmm. But in the Constitution of the United States, the founders recognized that intellectual property is no less valuable than real property. And they said, no. We want to incentivize people to be inventive. We call it the inventive incentive.
Yes, exactly.
So they gave people, the people who came up with the idea, owned that property, and we need to get back to that.
Well, and of course, the unintended consequences have been is that we're incentivizing all the wrong behavior. So now these inventors, they're not going to go to PTAB. They're going to go overseas. And with that, the jobs and everything else associated with it. And you wonder why America has gone from number one to number 12, right?
Well, you're right. This is part of the Make America Great Again agenda. Believe it or not, even though we know that China is stealing intellectual property, as you said, to the tune of $600 billion a year, the Chinese have now figured out that the way to the future is to actually have very strong patent protections. So China is putting in place laws to give inventors even stronger patent
protections. Bill, this has to be continued. We're out of time.
Thousands of people contact InventHelp monthly about their invention or new product. Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Call InventHelp now. Best of all, the call and information are free. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential, explaining every step of the invention process. We create professional materials and submit them to companies who are looking for new ideas in your category. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review new ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We offer 3D modeling and animation, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to present client ideas to additional companies. Join people just like you who made the call to InventHelp. You have nothing to lose. The call and the information are free. Call now.
800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess.
Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Bill Martinez, live.
Is here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Steve Moore joins us now. Always good to have Steve here. Steve is the senior economic contributor for FreedomWorks, previously served as president of the Club for Growth, chief economist of the Heritage Foundation, member of the Wall Street Journal editorial board, and economic advisor to the Trump presidential campaign. Steve, how you doing?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Well, the left's latest idea to end poverty is to give every American a guaranteed family income. Mr. Trump wants to give everyone a job. The Democrats want to give the poor a fish. Mr. Trump wants to teach people to fish so they can eat for a lifetime. It really is that simple, isn't it?
Well, that's right, Brian. First of all, we've got an economy now that is firing on all cylinders with several million more jobs than we have people to fill them. So there's not a problem with low-income people finding jobs. They are out there for people, and people on welfare could easily get off welfare and unless they're disabled or have some other problem that prohibits them from working. Mm-hmm. But, well over two-thirds of people on welfare could be working and should be working. And, so what Donald Trump has proposed is, why don't we have work requirements for Medicaid, food stamps, disability programs, again, if they're able to work, some of the housing programs. And that makes sense. These programs were meant to give people a hand up, not a hand out. We're a very generous and charitable country. We don't want people to go hungry. We don't want people to go homeless. But But, you know, if you're going to take government assistance, you should give something in return for it, and that means you should be working. And it's just amazing to me, Bill. I mean, the left has just gone absolutely crazy over this proposal. They call it slavery and, you know, cruel and hard-hearted. And I don't see it that way at all. I see this as a way of helping people get back on their feet.
It's about human dignity, Steve. You know, people want to have a sense of productivity. What was so frustrating for them in the previous 8 years under the previous administration was they wanted to work, and there was no jobs to be found. Regulations, the way the government was operating, it thwarted opportunity. Now look what happens under the Trump administration. You and I have had many conversations to this fact, and here it is in 500-plus days what he's done. You know, unemployment all-time low, like you say, first time, I think, in my lifetime I've ever seen more jobs than we've had people to fill these jobs, right?
So, yeah, that's true. And that's you know, why, you know, it used to be, you know, at the beginning of the Obama administration, we got rid of a lot of the work requirements for welfare. You know, there were so many unemployed people and so few jobs that it was hard for people to find employment. You know, and so, you know, the left got rid of the work requirements that had been with us for 20 years. Well, now we've got the problem where, you know, there are plenty of jobs out there for people. They may need a little training to do the jobs, but that's not an excuse now. And, you know, we estimate, as I said, almost two-thirds of people on welfare could be working. They are not disabled or have other problems that prevent them from working. And, you know, the studies show that when we did work requirements under Bill Clinton, by the way,
exactly,
a Democrat, you know, yes. That was the Republican Congress, and it was a true bipartisan reform, and it really worked. It was one of the great social welfare reforms of all time. We got about over half of the people off of welfare into work for 5 years. You know, we documented what happened to these people 5 years after, and many of them climbed the economic ladder. They actually got jobs. They got raises. They, you know, moved into, you know, middle positions that gave them a
They started
nice
their business. Started their businesses.
Some of them did. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, so we feel like this is a way, you know, this isn't about saving money. I mean, it would save money, but it's really about, as you said, the dignity of work, giving people a purpose in life, you know, and getting them out of poverty. Because, look, I mean, it is true. If you get all the welfare programs, you could earn as much as $30,000 tax-free for doing nothing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's no way to lead your life, you know, to just be getting checks from the government. The way to advance, you can't really get out of poverty unless you have a job and you have economic advancement. And that's what we're hoping for here. But boy, I can't tell you, Bill, how strenuously objecting the Democrats and liberals are to this. And, you know, that's why I called my article Democrats' War Against Work.
Exactly.
Because, you know, it's like they don't want these people working.
Well, especially in light of what's been going on with Ocasio-Cortez and, you know, Bernie Sanders, the left has really gone left in the Democratic Party, and they're so bifurcated right now, they can't even answer a straight-up question, Steve, of whether or not the mainline Democrats support, you know, this kind of thinking.
Well, you know, they want Medicare for all. They want a universal government health care. They want free education, free college, free child care, free job training, free everything. And, you know, Milton Friedman, I knew Milton, by the way, Bill, and Milton Friedman, the greatest economist in the 20th century, used to say, you know, remember, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody's going to have to pay for all this stuff, and that's going to be the working people who are going to pay for all these free things for, you know. But the problem is a lot of the people who are attracted to these ideas of everything's for free are, you know, people like my, you know, kids who are millennials and they're 18, 19, 20 years old, they've never worked, you know. So obviously they think the free things are wonderful. But once they get out there and working, I don't think they're going to think it's so wonderful. But I don't understand, you know, this woman, Alexandra, you know, who's the new star.
Ocasio-Cortez, yeah.
She's,
right.
She's 27 years old. She should know better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think, but she can't even articulate a political position correctly, Steve. I mean, I've listened to some of these interviews, and I'm going, she is their poster child right now? This is
who
they're...
She's very attractive. She's very well-spoken, but she just... doesn't know. I mean, everybody loves her story, you know, that she kind of came out from poverty and is charismatic. It's just her message is stupid, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not a message of lifting everyone up. It's basically stealing from the rich. It's basically, you know, Robin Hood, you know, yep. Steal from the rich and give to the poor.
Well, she tells a story of poverty, but didn't her mother disclaim it, said, I wasn't no mate. What is she talking about?
Yeah, well, that's true. And I mean, look, the main point is that there's a left-wing love affair with socialism now. They're one of the big pieces on Huffington Post now is about how socialism isn't good now, you know. And wait a minute, the lesson of the 20th century was that socialism was a complete failure. It's led to the, you know, death of millions of people and tens of millions of people. You look at what's happening in Venezuela, look at how it destroyed Cuba, you know, North Korea. I mean, show me a place where socialism is working.
Exactly.
And by the way, some of these countries like Sweden are moving away from this big welfare state because they realize they can't afford it any longer. So it's one of these wonderful kind of theories and principle, and then you look at it in practice and it never works.
Exactly. Well, that's something we've been saying on this show repeatedly, is that show me a country where it works and how it works. And, you know, then maybe we can open some discussion. But right now, as you say, history is rich with socialism, which leads to communism and which leads to all kinds of, you know, death rates that are astronomical, Steve.
Because it gives more and more power to a selected few in the government, and that power, you know, what is it? The power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. But, you know, they would say, well, Bill, you don't understand. We're talking about the good kind of socialism, you know, not the bad kind of socialism. I'm like, what's the good kind of socialism?
Yeah, well, the thing is, as soon as you involve humanity, you have the human instincts that take over, and it leads you in that direction ultimately, and that's what others have found at great expense. You know, again, you have to blatantly ignore history to think that there's some sort of proven ground here. But the fact of the matter is I believe the rest of the country needs to listen to what's going on, what they're talking about, because I think in certain cases there might be some consideration, not that I'm promoting socialism by no means, but I think there's an answer to these issues that they're talking about, just, you know, besides just saying, well, you got to go to work and you're going to be happier. But this is what leadership does, is it takes you from what is to what should be.
Well, I'll give you an example. So, you know, one of the policies the left is promoting is government health care for everyone. Mm-hmm. And look, we're a rich country. I believe we could cover everyone, you know, everyone is a citizen with health insurance, but, you know, let everybody pick whatever health insurance they want. You know, what they want to do is basically direct everyone into the same system. Well, this is America. We're consumers. You know, you like McDonald's, I like Burger King. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, why should we all have to go to the same, you know, Sean, you may have a different risk preference than I do. You may go to the doctor more often than I do. You know, I've had health insurance for 30 years. I think I've been to the doctor twice, you know.
Yeah.
So I have to breath with my depth, I have to go to the hospital. So I should probably pay lower premiums than someone who goes all the time. I'm just like, if you have a bad driving record and I have a good driving record, you should probably pay higher, you know, auto insurance premiums than I do. So, you know, we move away from individual responsibility. We move away from individual choice. And capitalism really is based on choice and competition. And you don't have that in the healthcare industry that they're talking about creating. And I think in the end, that would actually lead to a much worse healthcare system for everyone.
Kind of interesting, Steve. They're really concerned. You know, we got the 4.1 GDP announcement last week, and the big thing that came out was, is it sustainable? Is it sustainable? But yet they want to talk about socialism. It's like, well, do you guys just hear yourself about the economy? I mean, there's good reasons to think that 4.1 and what Donald Trump's talking about, you know, maybe 5-7%, you know, is it, you know, there's a solid foundation there for why it's sustainable, but yet you want to choose something here like, you know, free health care for all and tuition and everything, and a socialistic way of life. And what happened to sustainability on that measure?
Well, first of all, I really believe that anyone who believes socialism is the way to go, we ought to just send them a ticket to spend a week in Caracas, Venezuela, or
exactly.
Havana,
yeah.
Cuba, and say, see how they like it there. And then if they still think it's a good idea when they come back, you know, maybe they should have their head examined. But look, I mean, the good news is our economy is booming right now. We've got a pro-business president who's lowering taxes, lowering regulations. You know, I see that Alexander wants to go to 100% renewable energy. I'm like, wait a minute. We have something like 30 million Americans who are employed in the oil, gas, coal, nuclear industry. You're going to put all those people out of work, you know, and move towards windmills and solar power? I mean, it's the most it's really a very small-minded idea that doesn't really, it's not serious. And yet, you know, if you look at the GDP report, our energy sector is just hitting it out of the park right now.
Exactly.
I mean, I was in Texas
right.
a couple weeks ago. I mean, my God, I mean, they're drilling everywhere. We're producing more oil and gas than Saudi Arabia now.
Yeah, here we are. Well, we got to leave it right there. Steve Moore, a columnist for the Washington Times, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and economic consultant with FreedomWorks. Steve, as always, appreciate the insight. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Healthcare reform.